Hello, young professionals from all over the world. In today's Impact by Young Professional podcast, we're delighted to be joined by Professor Stephen Latre. Stephen will be joining us from Antwerp in Belgium. Stephen, a huge welcome to you and thank you very much for taking the time to take this interview with us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Stephen, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where did you study? What made you study computer science engineering? When did you join the IEEE? Your life story, essentially.
Okay. Well, I started my bachelor degree in computer science in 2002 at Ghent University here in Belgium. And the reason why I did it was actually the complete wrong reason. I really liked doing or making websites, and I thought, well, I want to make websites for the rest of my life. So I just had not any better idea, and I just started doing computer science. But quickly, I realized that wasn't really the best career path, but I really liked computer science part as well. I really liked programming. So, in the end, I did my master's degree as well in Ghent University. I've always known about IEEE, but I didn't really got involved until I started my PhD in 2006. Mainly, for a very pragmatic reason, because you get discounts at registration for a conference, of course. But then I quickly got involved in IEEE organization as well through my research community and by helping out in the conference organization as well. And I've been a member of IEEE since then.
So tell us a little bit about the work that you're conducting at the University of Antwerp and iMinds Lab. I'm quite curious, and I'm sure our listeners are curious to know, you know, what sort of research are you conducting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm co-leading a research team right now of about 45 researchers, and we are both part of the University of Antwerp in Belgium and the iMinds Research Center. iMinds is a digital research center which basically combines every research group here in Flanders that has something to do with ICT. Now, my group, the Mosaic Research Group, mainly looks at the Internet of Things, really from a hardware level up to the entire application layer. And me personally, I'm very much interested in how you can provide quality of service guarantees in large scale Internet of Things networks and quite chaotic environments as well. So I mainly look at how can you ensure that we can really get the best quality guarantees in connectivity, in wireless connectivity.
That sounds very exciting. Now, you were recently awarded the IEEE Young Professional Award at Globcom. That was hosted in San Diego in 2015. What was the award given for, and why do you believe you received it?
Well, that's always hard to say, of course. I think you mainly need to ask people who gave me the award. But for me, it's really an honor to get this. If I should guess, I think it's mainly for two reasons. I think within my research community, the network and service management community, I've in the past already received quite some recognition. So within my area of expertise, I've been awarded a few years ago the award for best PhD in network and service management. And I've also won a Young Professional Award within my research community. And on the other hand, I think my career path also shows that, I've been able to really grow in my career, starting out from a PhD to really leading a research team here as well. And then on the other hand, I think I've also been involved for quite some bits in conferences or organizing conferences together with the IEEE, both in technical program committees as in the organizing committee of really large conferences as well. When I was still a postdoc in Ghent at Ghent University, I've co-organized the IM conference on integrated network management. I think that also shows my involvement within the IEEE.
So going back to your research, in fact, Internet of Things and the machine-to-machine communications is sweeping the world. So many new innovations are coming about, you know, entrepreneurial Thrive it's really awakening the entrepreneurial activity amongst young professionals. Can you tell us a little bit about where you see this technology heading in the next 3 to 5 years? What projects are you involved in that you can share with us, and where do you see them going?
Yeah, so I think wireless is becoming more and more important in my opinion. I mean, it was used to just having very narrow bitrate type of connectivity. But people more and more expect the same quality as elsewhere. If you are connected through Ethernet or through wired connectivity, you get the best bitrate as possible. People just expect the same for wireless. And I think in one-to-one cases where you just want to connect one laptop to your access point, well, we basically solved that. I think wireless connectivity there has become a commodity. But I think that's not the case in large-scale and chaotic environments. I mean, how often does it happen where you're at a conference where there are hundreds of people, and the bitrate you're really getting there is extremely poor? And that's basically the projects I'm involved in right now. So I'm looking at large-scale wireless connectivity environments, either high bitrate Wi-Fi type of applications, but also really sensor information. So things like IEEE Ethernet 2.15.4 type of communication. So really those are things as well. But the main threat through my entire research projects is mainly how do you provide quality of service amongst those wireless connectivity technologies. And the research projects I'm conducting there, for example, I'm looking at Wi-Fi at large-scale events such as conferences. How can we do better load balancing, better quality of service reservation? I also have a project where I'm looking at more sensor communication at a large-scale music festival, where you're building digital bracelets so that people can use with sensor information embedded there within that are in real-time connected to the conference. I think in the future, we're only seeing the beginning, in my opinion at least, of the Internet of Things. I think it's definitely already at the top of the hype curve right now. But if you're honest, what we're currently doing is it's very simply connecting things or sensors to each other. I think if we could manage that quality of service, or if we could give quality of service guarantees on that wireless connectivity, we're only seeing the top of the iceberg right now of the potential of Internet of Things. I think it opens up a world where you can just throw all the wires away more or less and rely solely on wireless connectivity. So imagine if you would have a 1 gigabit per second bitrate or throughput for you available at every square meter where you're standing. If you can do that, you can basically bring the cloud or cloud applications really into the wireless medium as well. And that converged cloud area, and where you just have all these services available to you with high speed, high bitrate quality of service and wireless connectivity, is I think the way we should evolve in the next few years.
It seems fascinating, and for many of our readers, and you've mentioned concerts, for example, where you have high density of population in one particular sector, and sporting events are again also a very good example of that. So, for example, if we had 100,000 people in a particular concert venue, how do we provide that quality of service to each individual in that density?
Yeah. Well, it's indeed very hard and very tricky to do. The wireless spectrum is limited, and there's, of course, also advances going on the physical layer. But also there, we're reaching our limits. The only thing you could do, I think, is trying to use the bits or the spectrum as efficient as possible. And the way we're doing it is in several ways. On one hand, we have a part where we're trying to dimension the total environment as much as possible. So we're really trying to intelligently place all those access points where they need to. But that's, of course, only part of the story. The main part we're looking at is trying to do intelligent reservation based on the application requirements itself. Because if you have 100,000 of people at an event, not everyone wants to have high bitrate. There are some people who have, for their applications, they just want a few kilobits because they're just checking their emails. Others are uploading videos to YouTube. And that completely differentiated way of providing fairness is, I think, a challenge right now. We're just evenly giving the bitrates or spreading the bitrates to all users. If you could do it more intelligently, if you could really incorporate the application requirements within or in terms of bitrate, and we could incorporate that within the Wi-Fi technology itself, I think we can go much further. And that's the approach we're taking. It's not easy because also there, you're using real devices and you're limited in the way you can modify the technology itself. That's often something we try to do. The smartphones are there, the wireless protocols are there, so the only changes you can bring are typically on the level of the access points. And that makes it even harder because you'll only have a few knobs to turn in your entire technology push.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an enormous challenge. I mean, if we look back 20 years ago, we were starting to expand into the spectrum, but now the spectrum's becoming overly crowded. And it's not just a matter of pushing up, the frequencies and going up in the gigahertz further and further and trying to grasp more real estate. As I say, if we draw the analogy to the housing industry, then it's not just a matter of building more homes. It's a matter of being more efficient in how we do that. And I think what you're conducting there is ensuring that what we're doing in the spectrum is making it more efficient so we can provide more access and data rates for users. Now,
yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, you also see that the demand for bitrates is going up and up and up. So even there, it's a huge challenge. While you can improve the spectrum, the users demand more bitrate as well. We're closely going to demand for gigabits per seconds of throughput. And that makes it hard as well.
Yeah, so it's an ever-growing challenge of demand versus what we can actually provide, what's physically possible mm-hmm. with existing research. Now, I want to know, if you had some advice, and let's focus on, a few key advice messages that we can send to young professionals wanting to follow in your footsteps. What would you advise young professionals if they wanted to enter this industry? What would you advise them to take on board?
Well, key for me is trying to find the topic you're passionate about. It's probably a cliche, but I think if you really find a certain area of expertise you're really passionate about, the rest I think will follow. I know for me personally, for example, after my PhD, I was continuously thinking, how am I going to advance in my career? Am I going to stay in academia? Should I go to industry or not? But I just found a new topic which I liked more than my PhD topic itself. And then from that on, actually, everything became natural. I got appointed as an assistant professor at another university. I could really bring in my own creativity and my own research ideas there. And well, everything just growed like that. Maybe a second type of advice is, just follow where your interest is leading you. For me, it was actually quite a struggle, mental struggle, to decide whether or not I would actually switch universities. Looking back at it, it was probably a weird idea, and I doubted it for that long. But I really wanted to stay, first of all, in my original university because I really liked it there as well. In the end, I decided to switch. And also there, just changing the environment, changing work environment was, for me at least, very inspiring.